You'll turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to look at verses 7 through 11 this afternoon. And what we're going to be looking at is one of the names of God that is not even mentioned in this passage, it being a New Testament passage, but the name Yahweh. Remember, the name is Yahweh, the covenant God of grace, the most sacred name of God. And it speaks of God's immutability. He never changes in His being and in His relationship with His people. And so as we read this passage, 1 John 2, 7 through 11, keep the name Yahweh, the immutability of God, in mind as we look at this passage. Before we study, let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come to worship You through the reading and teaching of Your Word, we ask that You teach us by Your Holy Spirit. Give us understanding of this passage that we'll be studying, how it applies to us, and then empower us by Your Spirit to live our lives in obedience to what You teach us this afternoon. Continue to watch over us, provide for us, meeting every need that we have. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. Behold, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Well, this is an interesting passage. Now let's walk through it very carefully. Go back in verse 7, where again, John, with a pastor's heart, addresses the people as beloved, much loved. He's writing no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have known from the beginning. What is he talking about here? An old commandment that they had known from the beginning. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. This is the last book we would probably turn to read about the love of God. But in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So we have here in the book that's recorded some of the laws of God, the command to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, in this same chapter, look at verse 34. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now he expounds on this, loving the sojourner or the stranger that is among the people of Israel. Again, in the book of Leviticus, we think, my, this is something unusual here. This is why John, writing in 1 John chapter 2, says, "No new commandment I'm giving you, but an old one." Because it comes out of the Old Testament, the law God gave to Moses. Now, let's look at verse 8, back in 1 John chapter 2. Let's look in verse 8. "At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." And he seems to contradict himself. He says, "I'm not writing a new commandment, but an old one." And now he says, "But I am writing a new one." What is going on here? The Greek word for new also has the connotation of something new coming out of the old. Something new coming out of the old. The gospel is concealed in the Old Testament and revealed in the New Testament. God is Yahweh. He's immutable. What he teaches in the Old Testament, he will not contradict in the New Testament. So when he says new here, he's not saying something brand new or something totally different. He's saying this was true in the Old Testament, and now it is true in the New Testament. But he's going to expound on this and expand it. He will expound and expand this teaching. So let's go back to verse 8. "At the same time, it's a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you." In him is in Christ, and in you is you, as believers in Christ. This commandment that I'm giving to you, it is already in you because of your faith in Christ, and God has poured his love into us. "Because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining." Okay, it's true in us. And the darkness is passing away because the true light is shining. Notice he has darkness and light here. He has passing away and shining, with the darkness passing away and the light shining. Now, how does this apply to us? Well, there are three passages that I'm going to give you this evening, and you can read them and think about this later on. And this is how the darkness, we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we've come to know him. And this morning we were talking about spiritual maturity, maturing in the Lord, becoming more knowledgeable of the Lord and his word. And that's what this is referring to here, is in that, how many of us know perfectly the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of us know everything about him, understand him? How many of us have completely freedom from sin, would not have any darkness in us at all? None of us. We have light because we're believers. We've studied the scripture. We memorize the scripture. So we know the scripture. But there's these little hidden areas of darkness that you and I deal with in our own lives. It's called sin. And the Holy Spirit, as we study, as we mature in the Lord, the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ continues to shine in us, maturing us. And so the desires we had as a non-believer, let's start there. The desires we have as a non-believer, ungodly, worldly, totally opposite. We become believers in Jesus Christ. So now we have the light of the gospel in us. But I still had a lot of darkness at that point. I didn't understand an awful lot about the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from, I know I'm a Christian now. I know I'm saved. I have eternal life. And when I die, I go to heaven. I know I'm supposed to lead a life that's going to be pleasing and honoring the Lord. I don't have a clue what that means. I don't know how to do it. So I still got some darkness I got to deal with. So as you and I start that maturing process, and we study, we go to Bible study, we're in worship, we're in Sunday school, we pray, we study on our own, and we begin to understand spiritual truth at this point, and we begin to understand the scope of sin and how God says, I'm not going to put up with any sin in your life. Confess, repent, and I'll forgive you, and you work on dying to that sin. And the longer you and I are in Christ, the more we study, the more we store up the Word of God in our heart, the more aware we are of the sinfulness in our own heart. Isaiah chapter 6, on Isaiah's testimony. Remember what he said? I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. I see sin in me and everywhere I look. But he was aware of it. So this passage has to do with the love of God being consistent in us, and he's expanding on that love and showing how this love is going to just expand out more and more. Now, the first passage we need to keep in mind is in the Gospel of Luke, and that is Luke 10, 25 through 37, and that's the parable of the Good Samaritan. That's when all the religious guys came by and passed by the guy who'd been beaten up. Who helped him? It was a Samaritan. The least likely. That was love being shown. And so this is what the expansion of the love. You and I, having the love of God in us, we begin to see we have the ability to love those we didn't love at one time. We have that ability because of the spiritual maturity, because of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shining in us, revealing to us, you've made some progress, but you've got a long way to go. The other one, the other passage of Scripture is in Matthew 5, 43 through 44, where Jesus tells us to love our enemies and to pray for them. That's a tough order, isn't it? To love your enemy, those who hate you, those who want to do you in, those who make it known they don't like you. That's a hard thing to do. But I just imagine that every one of us here this afternoon, knowing all of you, you've experienced the ability to love somebody because you prayed for them. And that anger and that desire to see condemnation come is not what it used to be. I'm not saying we don't do that anymore. It's less. And it's all because the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ has shown us the attitude of hating and carrying grudges is not acceptable to God. And Jesus said, love your enemies. Pray for them who despitefully use you. That's the expansion of that love of the old commandment. It's growing out of the new. And this is what you and I are charged to do as we mature in the Lord. The last passage is in Matthew 11:19, where Jesus is accused of being a drunkard, a glutton, and fellowshipping with sinners because he ate with tax collectors. And you and I, in this society in which we live, are surrounded by all kinds of ungodliness. And in this society of ungodliness in which we find ourselves, what are we supposed to do? What has God told us to do in this new commandment of loving people? And that is to be compassionate toward them and to share the gospel with them. And so you and I could be seen talking to people who are maybe have a pretty bad character and pretty bad reputation. And yet we're standing there talking to them about Christ. This is what we're supposed to do. That's the expansion of this love. that God has given us His love in us that has caused us to be passionate and compassionate people, loving people who are unlovable. It's amazing how the love of God will change us. I have to admit, when I was first asked to teach in the prison, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to have anything to do with those people. They were in jail. No. I don't want to go. And then I was asked a few months later, and God had worked in my heart, "You're going." And I got down there. And you know what I discovered? Hurting people. People who would admit their own sin and admitted that they'd made bad decisions and bad choices and they were wrong and they were accepting the penalty of society handed out under the direction of God, and they weren't angry. It was amazing to me to interact with those men, those brothers in Christ, and be sorrowful in my own heart about my own pietistic, holier-than-thou attitude toward those in prison. They didn't hide their guilt. I'm guilty. I did it. That's why I'm in here. And that's the new message. That's the new commandment, is the expansion of that love from moving beyond loving brothers and sisters in Christ to loving those who despitefully use us and persecute us. And then moving on to those that we deem maybe not worthy of the love of God. That spiritual maturity, as we grow in Christ and the light of the gospel, and this is the crucial point, is that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, permeates even more of our hearts and our minds and our thoughts, to where when we see people, we would be like Christ. And when He saw crowds and multitudes, He had compassion on them. That's what our world needs, is a compassionate heart from all of God's children who stand on their faith in Christ and Christ alone and the truth of Scripture. Don't become one of these we don't want to become one of these people where we don't stand for righteousness and a godly and a biblical standard. We don't compromise that. We hold our standard of our faith in Scripture and in Christ alone and in the true and living God. But at the same time, we have a compassionate heart that reaches out to people who are hurting and maybe have never had anybody in their lives, or very few people in their lives, who would reach out with a loving and compassionate attitude. It's spiritual maturity. And that's what we see here in verse 8. Look with me in verse 8. The very last line, "Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." The darkness is removed when we become believers in Christ. But as I said earlier, there's still these sinful attitudes and desires that we have to fight. And as you and I grow in Christ and we fight those attitudes and those desires, they become less powerful in us. And we become more Christ-like. And people see and sense more of the love of Christ in us. And then that opens a lot of doors there. So, yeah, the darkness is, I guess another word would be dissipating. The darkness dissipates. Why does it dissipate? Because the light is so bright, the light's driving the darkness out. Because you and I become aware of that sin in our hearts, and we don't want that. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be known like that. And so that light is so powerful because it's the light of Christ, and that darkness just kind of goes away. Now, will we ever be full of light and completely void of any kind of darkness in this life? No. It will not happen in this life. But we will make progress as we mature in the Lord. Now, when we get to heaven, we'll be glorified. That's perfection right there. Ready for that day. But in the meantime, we strive for that light to shine brighter and brighter and brighter, and that darkness to dissipate. Now, let's go on to verse 9. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever says they are a believer and hates the brother, be it a brother in Christ, because this is the context of it, they're not a believer. Believers don't do that. And so they're still in darkness. And then he goes on to say, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. So whoever loves his brother is in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. That's an interesting phrase. Who is in him? Who is him? That's you and me. Because of the light that we have of Jesus Christ in us, the truth and the light, then that light is going to cause us to be able to be spiritually discerning, understanding sin, and we won't stumble. We will not stumble. And as we stop and just meditate on this a little bit, we have knowledge from God in His Word, how He defines sin and what sin is. And we know that. So we have that light. And because we have that light and we have that understanding, when temptation comes our way, when desires come to us that we know is sin, that will not cause us to stumble because we have the light. That desire is sinful and not acceptable to God. I'm not going there. My attitude toward that particular person or that ethnic group is not pleasing to God. I'm not going to let that cause me to stumble. Because you and I have the light. And the light does not cause us to stumble. Remember, it's the darkness that causes us to stumble. The sin that is in us. The light doesn't cause us to stumble. It causes us to be spiritually discerning and spiritually stronger. So there's no cause of stumbling in us. Look at verse 11. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. This is sad. But this is a spiritual truth. Darkness blinds the spiritual eyes of a person. And that's why those who are not believers are not only spiritually blind, but are spiritually dead. And they can't discern the difference. They can tell the difference between right and wrong in this world, But where it counts being spiritually discerning, they're not able to do that. They can't do that. And so they're blinded by the darkness. Now I want to ask you a question. Is it possible for us to be blinded by darkness? Yeah. We say we have blind spots, and we do. How many times have each of us thought that what we were thinking and what we were doing and the attitude that we have was okay? And as we studied the Scripture, as the light of the Scripture would shine in our hearts and in our minds in ways that it hadn't shone before, and then we realize, oh no, that is not acceptable to God. I have been blind to that. At that moment, you and I are responsible before God to confess that as sin, to repent and ask for forgiveness, and we are forgiven. And we have accepted the truth because the light of the gospel has shone into that dark area of our heart and revealed to us that sin. And as a believer, that's not acceptable. It has to go. And because you and I are believers, because you and I are trusting Christ alone for salvation, we want it out. Now, to the person that says, I don't want to give this up, you got a real spiritual problem there. You want to hold on to sin? That which is displeasing to God and dishonoring to Him? You want to hold on to something like that? No. We love the Lord because He's first loved us. We have His light. That light has shone into our hearts, revealed sin to us. I want it out. You want it out of your life. Hence comes confession, repentance, asking for forgiveness, and we are forgiven. Now what happens the next time that temptation comes? We will acknowledge it. We will know. No, there was a time that I would think that, say that, or do that, and I thought nothing wrong with it. Not anymore. Lord, help me to overcome this as this temptation is trying to draw me down. Help me. And we've already got the help in the fact that the Spirit of God dwells in us. We've got the truth of God in us. We've got the light of God in us. Now, it's our responsibility to act mentally, emotionally, and maybe even physically. Move. Get away from it. Quote Scripture. Get Scripture in your mind. Get a solid... This is why hymns to me are just so precious for us. They're based on biblical truth. And we can have a hymn in our heart and mind that would also help us to move beyond that and trust in the Spirit of God to get us on beyond that. Because we're spiritually mature, but we are being shown by the Spirit of God. You got some blind spots? I'm going to show you one. I'm going to show you one. Can you imagine what it would be like if the Holy Spirit just ripped us wide open at one time and showed us all the sin that we have? I don't think I want to see that at one shot. Dr. Larry Crabb, in his book Inside Out, points out that God matures us in the same sense of peeling an onion. And you take an onion and you peel it one little layer at a time. And He reveals sin to us. And then God gives us His grace and causes us to confess and repent and ask for forgiveness. And then He heals and strengthens us in that area of our lives. And when we have matured to a point, then the Holy Spirit comes back and says, okay, let's try another one.
Rip.
In the same process, it's an ongoing process. And so this is that light of the gospel shining into our hearts and into our minds. The darkness is dissipating. The light is shining and getting brighter because the sin in our heart is going away. And this is part of the spiritual maturity that you and I are going through every day of our lives. And brothers and sisters, when we realize this, and when the Holy Spirit works in this, and we acknowledge and confess and repent and ask for forgiveness, guess what follows? Peace and joy. The peace of heart and mind which surpasses all understanding. And the joy of Christ is in us to its fullest. And it's inward and deep. God is immutable. He never changes. We do. And we're supposed to. And we want to. And this is the process it takes. As every day you and I go through this, we walk with the Lord. He matures us and brings us to a point to where when He shows us through His light, we don't get angry. We get thankful that He's shown us. So meditate on this. Take this passage, meditate on it this week. Think about the spiritual maturing process that you're going through, how the light of Christ is shining more and more and more into our lives, and the darkness is dissipating. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you so much for the time to worship you this afternoon, to study your word, to be reminded of the light that is in us that continues to shine and the darkness that continues to dissipate. Father, thank you for the forgiveness and your grace and mercy. I pray that as you've instructed us by your word, that you will enable us to walk in a way that would be pleasing and honoring to you. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn.